his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head and they keep falling. So I just dig me some
Oh, yes, the raindrops!
The raindrops.
And evidently, they shut down Black Hawk helicopters. I didn't know that. I didn't know that these Black Hawk helicopters can't fly in the rain. I didn't know that. And thank you for Jim to point out that they can. Evidently, they can. And now we find out, the president says he wanted to go. He really wanted to go, but it was that evil Secret Service who, one, wouldn't let him fly, and two, wouldn't let him drive, sequestered him in the hotel. And look, I don't buy it. Sorry. It seemed like everybody else made it. He was the one who didn't. And anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, not showing up to the cemetery in France, and also not going to Arlington, which is just 11 minutes away from the White House. Just crazy. That's why I've asked Will Adig to come talk with us. He's executive director of the Union Veterans Council. Will, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So I guess, you know, first thoughts, are you buying the Secret Service said no?
I'm not buying it one little bit. And of course, you know, it just fits a long pattern of the minute, this president gets caught doing anything or he doesn't feel like he looks good doing, he blames somebody else. And that is the exact opposite of the leadership and the values that our service members and veterans uphold.
What do you think about, you know, it was the Secret Service's fault. They made him do it.
You know, if you look at the people who showed up at the event, if you look at, you know, the member of his cabinet that showed up for the event, if the president had wanted to do that, truly wanted to, he would have been able to do that. That is his ability as the commander in chief. And in his words, he's supposed to be the best president in history for veterans. Except, you know, this last week, he's had a heck of a week that doesn't really prove that. You know, you think it starts with a stunt to gain support during the midterm elections by sending soldiers to the border to not really do anything but sit around and miss their holiday. And he doesn't even have a comprehension of what it actually entails to deploy troops like that. Then, whenever there was this horrific shooting in California, he made fun of veterans with PTSD. He called a individual that had some issues things went really wrong. But he was on national TV mocking someone with those issues and calling him a little puppy. And then, you know, we're looking at the ballot petitions in Florida. He's trying to disallow veterans' ballots, legally cast veterans' ballots from overseas to be counted in Florida. And then to top it off, he decides that he doesn't want to pay the respects to the military that every single president has before. And, it's just been a heck of a week. And a lot of veterans are taking a look at that and forming opinions based on these actions.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I look at the fact that you didn't even go to Arlington on Veterans Day. I mean, you could forgive, you know, you're in France, the Marine pilot doesn't want to fly in the rain. Okay, fine. Maybe the helicopter, you know, has a, you know, something wrong with it. Okay. Maybe you don't want to drive. Okay, I get that. But you're 11 minutes away from Arlington, from the White House. Absolutely no reason why on Monday he didn't make that trip.
You know, and it just to look at the amount of travel that he's taken to his resorts in Mar-a-Lago in Florida and in New Jersey, and that takes a great deal of training, planning, and work to make sure that he can get all the way to Florida and all the way to New Jersey. And the things that he couldn't make it, 10 minutes away from my house, 11 minutes outside. I drive by Arlington every day when I go to work, and it would not be that difficult. Or just to do something, and that's the biggest thing. Is he did not make any attempt to fix the wrong he did when he didn't pay respect to the veterans that died in World War I in France, and he didn't make any attempt, and that's, I think that shows a lot.
I'm curious your thought, the tweet that came out today, which, I've heard idiots say, if it wasn't for us, they'd be speaking German over there in France. But to have a U.S. president basically regurgitate that idiotic statement, kind of, Yeah, I don't know. You're not making any friends and in influencing people with that.
And you know, and it shows the short-sightedness of history when it would, if you look at this great republic that we live in, if it hadn't been for the support of France, historically, you know, we might not be a nation. And yes, that's what we're supposed to do as, you know, allies and people, you know, defectors of the defenders of the common good. That's what I truly believe America is. And that's why we would go over and we've helped out many people, not just in World War One and World War Two. And it's something that, you know, I think if Theodore Roosevelt heard a president trying to take credit or just, you know, use that as bargaining tools, that's not what America is. We go out and we do the right thing. And we don't need to get patted on the back for it.
No, I guess we do now.
I guess we do now.
And but, you know, as I was looking at some little factoids, the DNC pointed out that, you know, Trump has visited his own properties more than 210 times during his presidency. And you think about the amount of vacation time this guy takes, which I wish he'd take more. I mean, take the Twitter away from him. Let him play golf 24/7. But, you know, if you could make, you know, more than 210 trips to your own properties, you sure as hell can make it to Arlington. It's just 11 minutes away.
You know, and that's not even – and I think the greatest travesty of this presidency when it just comes to visiting, there's a big check mark box. But, you know – the fact that he's 2 years into his presidency, we've got young 18-year-old kids deploying to countries all over the country right now that some of them aren't going to make it home. And the fact that he has not even made an attempt to visit our soldiers that are in harm's way is another telling fact. You know, if you look at how much time he spent on the campaign trail rallying up hatred and fear across this country, using the military as a prop in multiple different venues. And it's not just the troops to the border. You know, he uses the military every chance he gets. But at the same time, he's never taken a weekend instead of going to Mar-a-Lago to make a quick visit to Afghanistan or to one of the places where our veterans are in harm's way. It's kind of not really becoming of the office.
Yeah, and that, I think that's an important thing. I mean, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, I point out that Republicans, you know, and especially Trump, love to wrap themselves in, you know, how much they love the military and they love the photo ops and all of that stuff, yet their actions fall way short of actually honoring the troops and the service and their sacrifice.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And you know, I had the great opportunity to spend some time with General Stanley McChrystal, who's a former commander of forces in Afghanistan, and he talks about leadership. And as military soldiers, we believe in leadership. We believe that you have to be able to have leadership. You can't be just a manager or someone who made it by paid loans from his father. Leadership isn't taught; it's gained. And you know what he's showing today is not any form of leadership that I would have wanted in a leader, or I would have tried to be leading soldiers in combat. And I think that says a lot. He doesn't hold the values that a lot of people in America hold, I think, and unfortunately that shows in his leadership style.
No, that's absolutely true. But because I look at the flurry of tweets today attacking Macron and attacking France and as I thought this morning, he probably woke up this morning and was sitting on the toilet and realized that the quote of, you know, nationalism is the opposite of patriotism was a shot against, you know, him. And he got all angry and went right to the Twitter.
Well, I mean, I believe it was a shot against him. And I think that it's a far cry from you know, presidents of old that commanded a presence on the international stage, that walked heavily, but you know carried a big stick, but then it didn't talk about it. And I think that it's starting to show when it comes to our foreign policy that we do not have, we don't wield the same respect that we did before for Democrats or Republicans. And I think both parties need to take a really good look at themselves. especially after these midterms, and say, who are we as a nation? And it's going to take some true leadership to bring that back.
Yeah, and, you know, and to highlight that, you know, I don't know if you saw the Saturday Night Live thing with Pete Davidson.
I
thought that was, you know, I thought it was a stupid thing that he did. I remember looking at it going, wow, like, that was a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. But, you know, they came right back and they made it right. And, you know, this is one of those, or at least I think they made it right. This is one of those things that I think we still can. And it's sad that a comedy show has to be what shows us how to do the right thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I was very lucky. I got to spend some time over the election cycle going out supporting veteran candidates that are running for Congress and office all over the country. And there was a very common theme when it came to these candidates. And it was, you know, country over party, leadership through values and leadership through acts, not just words. And one of the things that I'm very, very pleased at is we do have a record number of veterans serving in Congress, or not serving Congress, but ran this year. And they were led by a charge of amazing female veterans that I think are going to bring a lot to Washington, D.C. And I think these are people that are willing to, that can sit down and hash out issues. And I think the more we get in there, the more people that are willing to work together and show real leadership in Washington, we're going to do better.
No, I hope that to be the case on a number of levels. And I hope that, you know, at some level we come to common ground again. I mean, we used to... You know, I think back to my grandparents' generation, and look, there's no Veterans Holiday that goes by, be it Memorial Day or Veterans Day or Armed Services Day, that I don't think about my grandfather who served in World War II. And when, you know, they came back from war fighting fascism and you know, fighting oppression and all of that, to come back and fight on the shop floor to build the most prosperous working class in history. You know, I think about, you know, the commonalities that they were able to share. You know, look, they were different on a lot of things as well, but there were certain things that were, you know, that, you know, just, it was common sense. It was what tied us together. And it seems in the last couple of, the last generation or so, those things have been shredded and ripped apart.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I think that there is a big divide, and there's, you know, we've got an amazing, there's an age gap that's happened. We have a whole bunch of people that are just in retirement or old. We've got a ton of young people. So there is a lot of divide in the country. And, you know, it's going to take some people coming to the middle ground. It's going to take the Problem Solvers Caucus. It's going to take young Republicans that say that, you know, that understand that, you know, we can be fiscally responsible and not hurt working class people or take away rights from individuals that maybe have different beliefs. It's going to take, you know, progressive Democrats being able to step over the aisle and make sure that working class people are taken care of and do that in a bipartisan manner. But it's definitely doable.
No, I sure hope so. Last line of questioning I've got for you. You know, Trump has been one of the biggest self-promoters of, in my view, you know, he's a carnival barker. He's one of the biggest self-promoters I've ever seen. And, you know, he says, you know, in fact, I think it was Mike Pence who said, you know, a veteran's never had a better president than Trump. But yet I look at what they've actually done, and it's not a whole lot. I mean, in fact, some of the things that they've done has actually been harmful. I would argue, you know, the fact that they've constrained the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that, you know, actually was attempting to protect veterans from being ripped off. I look at some of the, you know, the privatization that they've done at the VA. I think that's going to be harmful. I'm not seeing the positive stuff. Is there anything that you can look at and go, yeah, this is what the administration has done that has actually benefited veterans?
Well, one, talking about self-promotion, I'm going to talk about it. If you go to unionveterans.org, you're going to get a long list of issues and things that we are fighting for that do not line up with the president's agenda, and things that he's doing that people don't really adequate maybe as veterans issues, but they affect our veterans community most, like affordable health care and financial protection, things like that, making sure that there's a tax code that works for our veterans that have worked their lives. That's some really serious issues that we've got to deal with. Now, on the other hand, I see good happening, but I think it's not because of Trump, it's despite him. You know, there's people working together. I think General Mathis has got some great ideas, Department of Defense, that's going to bring the way we treat veterans and get them ready to get out of the military a lot. But, you know, for as much self-promotion as he does when it comes to veterans, he's a really weird way of showing it. You know, and many times, you know, in this presidency, he has attempted to make the largest cut to wages to working class veterans by cutting wages to federal employees and retirement benefits. He's stripped financial protections away from them. He's attempted to privatize and gut the VA. I mean, the list can go on. But, you know, we do have some friends in office now. I think we're going to be working to try and reverse many of the things he's done. But overall, I would not give him a high grade on veteran service.
No, I'm with you on that. But he does take a good picture, I guess, right? I mean, good photo op, right? Except when he shows up, when it's not raining.
Yeah, when he shows up. And can I just say one thing, because it's right after Veterans Day. In your local communities, if you're listening, there's local veterans' homes run by the state, and we have a lot of elderly veterans that would just love for somebody to stop by for a couple of minutes. So if you could take some time out of your month or week and stop by one of the veterans' homes and just meet the folks there and listen to them.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my mother worked at a nursing home, and I spent a lot of time talking to people of all stripes, veterans, and women who outlived their husbands and their savings, and the stories and the lives that you know these people led were one of the great influences of my life. In fact, one of the things I remember, I was 8 years old, and the guy said he was one of 19 kids, and I said, 19 kids? I go, why'd your parents have 19 kids? He goes, well, they didn't have TV. So there you go. You don't tell an 8-year-old that, but I still remember it. But you're right. Visit a veteran. Visit any of our shut-ins. It's a good thing as well. Will,
yeah,
I appreciate the time. The thoughts. Always great talking with you, man.
Yes, sir. You have a great one.
Our good friend Will Adig. Make sure you check out their site at unionveteranscouncil.org. We'll make sure we get links out so people can take a look at it. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy, his feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit those.